Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. I hope you were able to spend some time with family and friends for the Thanksgiving holiday. Today's scripture comes from 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 4 through 20. About 7 or 8 years ago, I was having a conversation with someone who I was inviting to come to church, and they told me this, "Oh, I don't go to church. I don't have much use for organized religion, but I believe in God and all that. I'm spiritual, but not religious." Well, that was my first encounter with what some church leaders have labeled as an SBNR, a person who claims to be spiritual, but not religious. Since then, every so often, I will bump into one of those folks who claim to be an SBNR. If you ask a man in his early 30s at the lake fishing on a Sunday morning if he ever attends church, you will often hear something like, "I feel closer to God when I'm out here in nature and not in some building. This is how I worship. I'm spiritual, but not religious." I have had conversations with young people who say they love Jesus and claim to be a Christian, but they say they despise the church and organized religion. They claim that the church is no longer relevant to the issues of our day. And they also claim to be an SBNR. According to Barna polls, more than 72% of the millennial generation, those born between 1978 and 2000, describe themselves as spiritual but not religious. Now, I truly can appreciate some of the criticisms that they make. The institutional church is not, and has never been, a perfect organization. It is made up of and led by imperfect people. But let me state a very fundamental fact. Saying that you are spiritual, but not religious, is a good example of an oxymoron. It is like saying you like hot ice in your drink, or asking for a glass of dry water. So this necessarily brings us to an obvious conclusion. You cannot truly be spiritual without also being religious. There was a study I read about a while back, compiled by sociologist Nancy Ammerman, on religion in everyday life. Her conclusions were that SBNRs are like unicorns, a fictional species often written about in novels and folklore, but something that does not actually exist in real life. She writes that for most people, spirituality and religion cannot be separated. Instead, they must coexist. They are like capstones in the top of an arch. Pull out either one and the whole thing collapses. Religion supports spirituality. Spirituality is formed through the practice of religious beliefs. It's like claiming that you can see without any light or hear without sound. You simply cannot have one without the other. Hannah understood this fundamental truth. According to our text, she was deeply upset about her inability to have children. So she presented herself to the Lord in the temple. Weeping bitterly, she prayed that she would have a son, and if God gave her a son, she would give him over to the service of God. Hannah was both spiritual and religious. She trusted God and demonstrated this by going to the temple and praying so intently that Eli the priest mistakenly believes she is drunk. Hannah sees the world from a spiritual and therefore also a religious perspective. She is both active in organized religion and also highly committed to spiritual practices. So what about the people who say they are spiritual but not religious? Well, if we look closely at what they do, how they live their lives, we will soon discover the truth about that claim, that they are neither spiritual or religious. The 72% of millennials who describe themselves as more spiritual than religious are doing little, if anything, to practice or deepen their spirituality, as they claim. According to statistics, 65% rarely or never pray with other people. 65% rarely or never attend a worship service of any kind. 65% do not read the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, the Vedras, or any other religious text. It seems that the silent generation, and especially the baby boomer generation, have done a really good job of producing one of the most secular generations in the history of the United States. One church leader once observed that the Christian faith is only one generation away from dying. Could it be that we are beginning to see the results of our failure to model and to effectively pass on our faith to the next generation? Most young adults from the millennial generation would never think of falling to their knees in the temple with Hannah and praying to God, as they claim. SBNRs say they are not religious, and that is blatantly obvious. However, they don't seem to show any evidence of being very spiritual either. Now, we must be careful not to condemn or dismiss their observations too quickly, as some of the problems they point to in the church are certainly true. Here are a few of the things they point out as being hypocritical in the church. They see that many church people are not really concerned with social justice. They see that a lot of church people are focused simply on taking care of themselves and the people already in the church. They see that most church people are resistant to change, even positive change that seeks to solve problems. They see that most every church claims they are a friendly church and will welcome anyone. But then they see that that is not always true. They see that most churches are far too political and often filled with outdated beliefs and practices. Now let's be honest, perhaps the reason they don't want to be associated with being religious or be with religious people is because they have seen that far too many good church people talk the talk, but do not walk the walk. So let me ask, if we say that knowing what is in the Bible is important to us, then how often do we read and study it? If we say that attending church is important, how often do we ourselves skip Sunday school or worship in order to do other things? Do the people outside of our church see us participating in our church's activities? And do we make them a priority? Could it be that we have not always been a very good example in how faithfully we have supported our church in our giving and in our attendance? But even if all that is true, we still must state empirically that it is in worship and other church activities where our spirituality is formed and deepened. Churches are still the best place to practice spirituality, even when they are filled with hypocritical, broken, and sinful people. According to author Tony Robinson, congregations are the setting that give shape and encouragement to the spiritual life and practice of individuals and families. Thinking back on the work Nancy Ammerman did, she says this: with a congregation, a person is more likely to be spiritual, and without such a community of spiritual discourse and practice, individuals tend to be less spiritual or not spiritual at all. She concludes that people with the most sense of sacred presence are those who participate in religious activities that allow for conversation and relationship. Hannah is a good example of a healthy connection to a spiritual community. She goes up to the house of the Lord, which is where she connects to her spirituality. Verse 7. She prays to the Lord to give her a son. While there, it is clear she feels a sense of the sacred. Verse 10. She speaks with the priest Eli while participating in a religious activity. This also allows her to form a relationship with him. Verses 12 through 18. Is the temple a perfect religious place filled with perfect people? Not at all. Eli the priest is rude to her when he sees her praying. He accuses her of being drunk. Now, how would we react if we were in Hannah's shoes? I bet many of us would react negatively and say something back like, "Well, how dare you?" Perhaps even stomping out of the room, vowing to never darken the door again. But Hannah chooses not to take offense. I say chooses because we always have a choice as to how we react to what people say to us and how they treat us, especially in this current partisan climate, when everyone seems to have a thin skin and is walking around with a chip on their shoulder. This is an important principle that we all need to learn, that we always have a choice as to how we react to others. But instead of being offended, Hannah says, "No, my lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord." Verse 15. She gives an honest answer, desiring conversation and relationship. Eli responds to her in a positive way. "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." Verse 17. Hannah is clearly not an SBNR. She is spiritual, practicing her religious beliefs. At the end of Hannah's story, we see that God does indeed grant her request for a son. And as she promised when he comes of age, she gives him to the Lord's service. St. Augustine talked about a God-shaped box that exists within each one of us that only God can fill. When we empty our hearts out to God in prayer, we build a bridge between us and God. And while God may not always give us what we ask for, the practice of spiritual disciplines are what deepen our faith and strengthen our connection with God and other people of faith. Now let's be honest. If we did not go to church and place ourselves in this sacred space with other believers, how much time would we really spend focused on God and participating in spiritual practices? The church is the place where we engage in the religious practices that grow us spiritually. But perhaps things aren't as bad as some have tried to make us believe. According to a recent Barna survey, 67% of millennials prefer a classic worship style over a trendy one. And 77% of them say they would rather be in a sanctuary instead of a building that does not look like a church, often called a worship center or an auditorium. Almost 100% of them say they are looking for authentic Christianity. What they mean by that is that they don't necessarily want to be in some of the hip new churches that put more emphasis on trendy music and marketing Jesus to the public, instead of developing a relationship with God and living out the principles that Jesus taught. Authentic discipleship and relationships. This is what Hannah was looking for. And that is what I believe many people today are looking for as well. A big question then for us is this: if they come to our church, will they find it there? A young man once wrote, "When a church tells me to clap if you love Jesus, it smacks of inauthenticity to me, because I don't always feel like clapping. Sometimes I just need to worship in the midst of my brokenness and confusion, not in spite of it, and certainly not in denial of it." Spirituality grows best in a community of people who have similar values, in a church where we have developed relationships with other believers. This is the setting where we can deepen our faith, when, like Hannah, we are honest about our needs with God and with each other. I believe that God will give us the gifts He wants us to have, and as we sincerely practice and live out our faith together, I believe we will find that we are both spiritual and religious people, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.